Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Coops will bring a message entitled, Come and See, from Scripture found in John 1, 43 through 51. This is Beth Coops inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God, the one who alone is worthy of our praise and our adoration, the God who has revealed himself to us so that we in turn can share or reveal him to others, the come and see message. And so I hope that comes through as the theme of today's service and that just in being here that you feel blessed and that you've your life has been enriched because of who we have come to praise. If you're visiting with us this morning, we say good morning to you. We greet you. We're glad you're here. We have a couple of special guests. We have our special music, Amy Reiske, and we're glad you're here. And then Don and Margie Nichols, and they're here from the Gideons, and we welcome them. And then anybody else who's visiting. Again, we're glad you're here. We hope you're blessed that this service touches your heart and speaks to you. And to all who are here, we invite you to stay for a time of fellowship after the service. Right through those doors, there'll be coffee and cookies. Gives us an opportunity to greet you, to shake hands, to find out who you are, and just to encourage one another. It's always important to build up that sense of family, that we belong together because we're part of the family of God. And then we greet all those that join us through other means. So that might be through Jethro. And we're so thankful for Jethro Radio. And then on the internet, jethro.fm. And now we also have YouTube. And sometimes some people still get CDs. And so all kinds of ways to reach out. And we're just thankful for these different means that we can do this. And our prayer is always that God uses it and blesses it in the lives of others. A couple of other things just want to mention, and that is that the diaper drive for Elf of Grand Rapids is still continuing on through the end of this month. So next Sunday is kind of officially the last day to bring them. However, Alpha has need all year, so if you're like, oh, I miss that Sunday, don't think that you have to bring them back to Myers or wherever you get them. Let's give a real push to help Elf out. It's such a need and there's such a scarcity. Like I mentioned last week, it's not a pretty picture, but sometimes they try to get by with one diaper for a day. Don't even put that in your mind. So if we can help out, just do what you can. Push it over the top. And then the other thing I just want to mention, as we talked about Don and Margie being here, this has been a big week-long Gideon convention right here in Grand Rapids. Friday night, we were blessed. There's lots of perks when you're a preacher, and Friday night was a preacher appreciation night, and we were treated to a whole evening down at the Amway. This tremendous meal, good speaker, good music, but also real inspiring just to hear what the Gideons are doing really around the world. I was really inspired when I left there. And just thank you for that privilege, that opportunity. And we're also blessed to have a number of Gideons that are part of our church family right here. And in a few moments, we'll look forward to what Don has to share with us regarding the Gideons. At this time, our call to worship instructs us, make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory to His name. Give Him the glorious praise. All the earth worships you, God. They sing praises to you. So let us join those voices and also sing praises to His glorious name. We'll stand and sing number 408, verses 1, 2, and 4. How firm a foundation. Number 408. Pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for that firm foundation. Everything else is sinking sand. And in a world that is so chaotic, we need a firm foundation and a strong tower. And the name of the Lord is our strong tower. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you. Our prayer is that through the power of your Spirit, everything that happens here this morning will glorify you, rise like a sweet aroma into your heavenly throne room, but that through it, we also are blessed and equipped for the journey of life, that we'll be faithful witnesses, that we'll be true ambassadors for the kingdom we really belong to, the kingdom of God. We pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, it is my privilege to welcome and introduce to you Don Nickel. He's come to us from Wordsboro, New York. And actually, you know, I'm maybe one of the few people that kind of knows where that is. I used to drive truck out there. So it's not a totally unfamiliar area. So welcome, and so glad that you and your wife, Margie, can be here with us and tell us a little bit about the Gideons.
Good morning. The Gideons International. The gospel is our mission. You've seen our Bibles in hotels and motels, but that's the tip of the iceberg. About 70% of the scriptures we give out worldwide go to young people. And we tend to give out New Testaments more than place Bibles in hotel rooms. Let me give you an example. Mommy, why is Daddy crying? Well, let's tell you. Joplin Emerson was a young man and grew up in Kansas. Before he graduated from high school, he said there wasn't a single day that he wasn't either drunk or high on drugs. Well, one day after school, as you were leaving, there were some men out there, and they were handing out little books, and he took one. Now, we color-code them. It was probably orange, because that's what we try to give out in high schools and grade schools. But he didn't really want it. He took it and just put it in his drawer, and that was about it. His life went from bad to worse. He was involved in drugs and all sorts of sinful activities. And it came a time that he figured that the world would be better off without people like him. And he planned to commit suicide. But then he had a thought. What if hell is real? Bothered him. So he remembered he had that little book. And he found it in the drawer. He started to read it. He began in Matthew, worked his way through the genealogy. And then about six chapters in, he came to something that he thought was the most ridiculous thing he ever heard in his life. It said, "Ask and shall be answered. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks will be answered. Everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open." And he says, everyone. That would include me. What would God want to do with a person like me? But he said to himself, well, maybe I got to do a little seeking. And he said, well, God, I'm going to give you 30 days to prove yourself. Well, he knew he had to do something. So he went to church in his hometown. And he got a really cold reception. See, they knew him as a convicted felon. And they didn't want to have anything to do with him. So the Sunday after that, he went to a church in a neighboring town where they didn't know him. And he says he doesn't remember much about that service, other than after the service, an older lady sitting behind him said, "Is this your first time here, son?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Won't you please come back?" Well, he said to himself, doesn't she see who's standing before him? Long, greasy hair, low-hanging trousers, dirty jeans, and gangster clothing. But she said, "Won't you please come back?" And he did. The next Sunday, he focused in on the sermon. He said he had no doubt that that pastor believed every word he was preaching. And the pastor, as he was walking down the aisle, caught his eye. And he said that eye was filled with love and compassion and power. And he said to himself, what that man has, I'd want. They actually gave an altar call, and he went forward. He ran forward, and he wasn't a praying man. He didn't know what to say. He just kneeled on his knees and said, "I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And he said the weight of sin just lifted off of him. And he felt like a new creature in Christ, because that's what the scripture says. When you come to the Lord and are born again, you become a new creature in Christ. And his life changed from that moment. What he didn't know is that he was living with a young lady. And in that same service, she went forward and received Christ as her Lord and Savior. It changed her life as well. They got married. They began attending regularly that church. He began to grow in Christ. The alcohol and the drugs God took from him, changed him. And it wasn't too long, he got a call to the ministry. Today, Joplin Emerson is the pastor of a church that he founded, The Well in Derby, Kansas, a growing and vital congregation that knows what it is to serve a loving God, a life-changing God, a God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. Now this is let me tell you a little bit about Joplin, because I got to meet him personally. My wife and I were at a Gideon event, and he came to encourage us. And we sat at the table with him, and when he was giving his testimony, his little girl and his wife were there, and that's when she said, "Mommy, why is Daddy crying?" Well, Daddy, when he got to the point where God changed his life, he broke down in tears. and tears of joy, because he knew the power of a life-changing God. Well, this is an illustration of the gospel and an illustration of the mission of the Gideons. Our sole purpose is to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it by our association together for service to him. We do it by our personal witness as the Lord gives us opportunities to share with folks. And we do it by the placement of God's word. I said before, you know about the Bibles in the hotel rooms, but around the world we're mostly known for New Testaments given out in schools and colleges and to armed forces and police and fire folks. As I said, 70% of our scriptures go to young people because we know they're the ones who are in that lost generation, the ones who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a sweet thing to be able to put the copy of the Word of God into the hands of young people, knowing that it has the power to change lives? We've been around for 126 years now as Gideons. We didn't start placing Bibles to 1908. It was a pastor who encouraged the Gideons to place those first scriptures in hotel rooms. And God has been with us as we go. In 1916, he encouraged us, he called us to place Bibles in hospitals. Within 2 years, there was a worldwide pandemic that exceeded the one that we had in 2020. And the Word of God was there in the hospitals. In 1941, God called us to place scriptures with the military. And one of our first deliveries was in a place in Hawaii called Pearl Harbor. And I know of one of the lady nurses who was there. Her son was on one of the ships bombed and died in that Holocaust, if you will. And when the body was found, he had his copy of the New Testament. His mom was encouraged that he'd signed the last page indicating that he'd prayed to give his life, his soul, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that mom had comfort when she had. God has opened up ministry opportunities for us around the world. We're in nearly 200 countries around the world, placing his word in 110 different languages. It's been since 1908, but we've been able to place 2.6 billion copies of God's word, and we're placing close to 70 million each year. And there's plenty of opportunities to place God's word. Our only shortage is manpower and womanpower. So I serve in this ministry with my wife. We have that opportunity to work together. I'm pleased to say the Gideons has been a wonderful part of my life. It has caused me to grow closer to God, closer to my wife. It has encouraged me to go deeper into my faith and has benefited me in ways that only eternity will tell. And I like to think I'm like Johnny Appleseed going around planting seeds. And I will see what the harvest looks like when I get to heaven. You see, we don't put God's word in the highways and byways of life just because we think it's a good idea. It is a good idea. But we do it because we have God's promise. This is what he says in Isaiah 55:11. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I purposed and prosper where I sent it." And we know that God's word won't return void, so we're willing to place it. I'm going to close with this. Margie and I were in New York City in a hospital, placing God's word in each of the hospital rooms. Margie went into one of the rooms, and there were a couple of guys there. One guy was facing the wall, and she asked the other man, would he want a testament? And they said yes, but in Spanish. Well, we had Spanish with us. And the young man was able to speak a little, but Margie went over and said, "Can I pray for you?" And she prayed for him that he'd recover and he'd be healed. And she gave him a copy of God's word, and then she was leaving the room. God had other plans. She said it was like somebody stopped her, turned her around, and pushed her back in the room. She went over to that man and said, "Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he said, "No." And then with the help of a Spanish testament and some broken English, She led that young man in a prayer to receive Christ, that he could become a child of God. And that young man turned to her in broken English and said, "Now I know Jesus is real. When you came in, I was facing the wall and I was praying. I was praying that Jesus would send somebody to pray for me. And here you are. Jesus is real. The gospel is our mission." Thank you so much for the privilege of worshiping with you. Thank you, Pastor Harry, for having me here. And Lord bless you all as we worship him. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Let's give Don a nice round of applause and his wife, Marge.
Thank you so much for what you shared and the encouragement you gave us and reminding us the power is in the Word, the power is in the gospel, and how that transforms lives. And so we're grateful that you're here and for the inspiration of what you shared. As we come before our God of our congregational prayer, I want to give you a couple of updates. Betty Holmes did have her heart procedure done last week, and that went well. The cataract surgery has been postponed to a later date. Kidney function still borderline. So still lots going on in Betty's life. She's so appreciative of your prayers. Do keep holding her up. And then we want to remember Pat and Keith Warren. Pat's grandson, Matthew Stroven, was in a real serious motorcycle accident last Friday night. His condition at best is grim. And so we want to remember Pat and Keith, but that whole family at this time as they're surrounding his bed, seeing what will happen. We're grateful to say that Marcia Van Ewen's sister Denise is back home. Last Sunday morning we prayed for her. She was in ICU. Things are pretty critical. And at this point, they're guardedly hopeful. So we're encouraged by that. We praise God for that. Joy Stulp still dealing with respiratory issues. So her surgery, eye surgery last Tuesday, postponed, has not been rescheduled yet. And then we extend our condolence to Cheryl Schellenberg and her family in the passing away of Herm. Herm passed away last Tuesday. His funeral service was yesterday. And we just pray for grace and strength for Cheryl and the family during this time of loss. We also want to remember Cindy and Gordon Ralph in our prayers. Their friend Renee also passed away this last week, Thursday. And so remember Cindy and Gordon Ralph, but also all of Renee's family as they're grieving her passing. And these are just hard things. So it's a good thing we know the one to turn to who is the resurrection and the life. At the conclusion of our prayer today, we won't recite the Lord's Prayer, but Amy is going to sing it, and Paul will accompany her. And so just so you know what's going to happen, let's pray together. Incarnate God who came to dwell amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us, we could behold so we could behold who you are. Actually, what you were doing was preparing us to issue the invitation. Come and see to others. Come and see this Jesus who died for our sins so that we could be reconciled to him, to be part of the family of God and share the good news of others. It's an amazing story. And only the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ could do this. And then we give thanks to the Holy Spirit for revealing this truth to us so that we know this is truth. That's why we worship you, the triune God. We also pray for the cleansing of all of our sins, to feel clean in your shed blood, to think that you already see us dressed in robes of white, pure in your sight. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We pray for those who don't walk with you, for whatever reason, who don't have the freedom, who have not experienced what it means to have their lives changed, transformed. And Father, we're so grateful that you found us when you did and where you did. And that's our prayer, that you would do that for those folks too, the ones that are just dear to our hearts, the ones that we uphold in prayer. And then we pray for those dealing with health issues, and we ask for your peace-filled presence and healing touch on Mary Ruloff's brother Dave, on Kevin Harima, Marcia's sister Denise, the Miller's granddaughter Jolene, Cheryl DeWitt, Kathy Misiak, Matthew Stroven. And we pray for Pat and Keith and that family, for Emily Dreyer, Dan Lyke, Lynn, Michelle Strading, Ron Osteich, Joanne Sleeth, Helen, Carla, Larry Rudnick, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Dan Rotman, Dave Conrad, Tim C., Joy Stulp, Robert DeYoung, Don Oppenheisen, Betty Holmes, and Brian Herwire. And then we give you praise that Jerry Loschutz is stable now, that Casey Immons' throat surgery went well, and that Dorothy Bartlett is doing better here with us. Father, these are things we want to celebrate and praise you for. You work through medical people, but you are Creator, the only physician that brings the healing. And so the praise belongs to you. Then we know there's lots of unspoken needs and things that people already have on their agenda for this week. And then we think of all the things that we never see coming. We never know what a week holds. We're so grateful that you, the one who does, also hold us. We pray for our emotional struggles, feelings of depression and anxiety and uncertainty and sometimes wondering if life is even worth living. Is there any reason to go on? Things that keep us trapped and in bondage. All of the things that really steal our joy and our freedom. And Father, we pray for your grace and that you would set them free. We pray for our relationships. We thank you for them. But we also know that they can be challenging. And so we come to you and we pray that you give us real grace in how to do it well. To do it in a loving way, a kind way, the way that and you really mentor us in doing that. So often it's just hard for us to do it, and sometimes we just don't want to. The rebel comes out, and we become obstinate. Will you give us soft hearts so that we can live in a way that pleases you? We pray for your strength for those in nursing homes, homebound, assisted living. We remember in particular Lorna Borderwijk and Aria Bosman this day. Would you still let them experience a Lord's Day blessing? We ask for the peace of that you alone can give to Don Winalda on hospice care. We pray for strength for Judy and the family too. And we pray, Father, for all the caregivers. The caregivers that are sometimes family members and other times are the ones that it's part of their profession, but it's special gifts that you have given them to do this. We seek your comfort for Cheryl Schellenberg and her family in the passing away of Herm, even as we thank you for his life and who he was and that he belonged to you. We pray your continued presence to sustain Gordon and Cindy Ralph as they grieve Renee's passing. Will you strengthen them too and all of Renee's family? And we thank you that our hope is in you. If it wasn't for you, this would be nothing but despair. But we can celebrate and sing through the tears because we serve a resurrected, risen Savior. Thank you for our nation. We pray that your Spirit would infuse and guide all who are in places of leadership at all levels of government and judicial rulings. Thank you for our freedoms. Father, our prayer is that we would never squander them. We express gratitude for the sunshine, even as we continue to pray for rain. You've given us a little bit, Father. We pray that you would even send more and just replenish the earth. Around the globe, your word is the light in the darkness. Would you bless David Colop as he serves in Guatemala to train and raise up followers of Jesus? And would your favor rest upon all those involved in the Gideon International Convention this past week? And Father, we're so thankful that Don and Margie can be here with us this morning. And Father, I've heard that it's been a week of inspiration and rejuvenation. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for who they are, the Gideons, the auxiliary, and what they do in their working alignment with the church. We know your Spirit is always at work, and so we pray for those in politics and entertainment, in sports and media, who profess you as Lord and Savior and often end up in hostile situations. We remember the voice of the martyrs as they're a lifeline to the persecuted ones around the globe. This morning, would you fill us with new passion and enthusiasm for the story of Jesus and how he alone changes lives. May we be endowed with new courage to invite others to come and see. We offer this prayer in his powerful name. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Paul. At this time, we'll turn to our hymn of preparation, number 411, I Hide Your Word Within My Heart. 411, standing to sing. You may be seated. The last line we sung, the beauty of God's truth that stands from age to age. The God who is so faithful that never changes. Dear congregation, we got a new car, and I want to show it to you. Come and see. We're moving into a new house. It's really neat. We really like it. Come and see. Hey, the flower gardens behind our house are just beautiful. They're in full bloom. All the color is so enchanting. Come and see. Found a new Chinese restaurant. The food is so good. You just need to come and join us. Come and see. We all have stuff that we invite others to come and see. We're excited about it. We like it. And the implication is that this is so important to me, so enjoyable to me, so good to me that I'm sure you want to drop whatever you're doing and you want to come and see. This is really good stuff. I want you to experience it. Come, see for yourself. Check it out. This morning's passage in John's Gospel is really a come and see passage. It's early on in Jesus' ministry. He's putting his team together. He's getting established. It's still really early. John the Baptist is the key prophet at this time. But John himself knows that he's really not the key prophet. That's why he says things like, hey, there's one coming shortly after me. I'm not worthy to unlatch the thongs on his sandals. But to the most people, John the Baptist was the big deal. Jesus, just getting started. And we're going to read a little bit of this story. So if you'll turn with me, Pew Bibles, it's page 1510. And it's John chapter 1. We'll read verses 43 through 51. 43 through 51. John chapter 1. Hear the word of God. The next day, and this is the day after Jesus had called his couple of his first disciples, and we'll talk about that in a minute, like Peter and Andrew. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. As I said when we started reading, in the preceding verses is where we meet Andrew, and Andrew is known as the bringer. And the reason he's known as the bringer is because after he met Jesus, he said, you know what, this is so good, I got to tell my brother Peter. And he brought Peter to Jesus, and he said to Peter, he says, we have found him, the one, the Messiah, the Christ, come and see. And Peter went with him. The story that I just told you, that took place on the northwest side of the Jordan, just above the Dead Sea, about a Sabbath day journey from Jerusalem. And that was really the place, the area, where John the Baptist was baptizing. So that's why it was all gathered there. And then in verse 43, we just read, Jesus is leaving to go to Galilee. Now Galilee is quite a bit north of where this took place. And then it says, and he finds Philip. Doesn't tell us anything about Philip, anything about him, other than he's also from Bethsaida. Bethsaida is the town that Peter and Andrew were from, and so they probably knew each other and might have also all been fishermen. And Bethsaida is a town on the northeast tip of the Sea of Galilee. So we're going actually from the top of the Dead Sea to the top of the Sea of Galilee. Anyways, when Jesus encounters Philip, all he says to him is, follow me, and Philip follows him. In this passage, it's really a role model. Jesus' role model is how to recruit people. Follow me. Come along. There's got to be enthusiasm. There's got to be excitement. There's got to be passion. I heard somebody, well, it was Jim Daly, just talking the other night. He says, have you ever heard of anybody who became a believer and said, you know, I met some of those Christians and they were so glum and so nasty and the things they said to me, and I decided I want to be just like that. It's like, oh, okay, point well taken. So, follow me. And in this passage, after Jesus finds Philip, and then Philip is like, wow, this is amazing stuff. And he goes and finds Nathanael. And then that's what we read in verse 45. He's excited. So when Philip met Jesus, that was more like, why don't you come with me? And he's, well, okay, I've nothing else to do. It's like, no, this is big stuff. So he wants to look for somebody to tell about it. He finds Nathanael and says, Nathanael, guess what? Guess what? We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. We have found the one that they talked about, the prophets talked about. We found the one that was born in Nazareth, the son of Joseph, Jesus. Nathanael caught the enthusiasm. Nazareth? What good could come out of Nazareth? Little dinky town. I'm not buying any of this stuff. Kind of like saying to Philip, get serious. Nazareth is a podunk town. There's nothing good coming out of there. And the other reason people didn't like Nazareth is that there was a Roman garrison there. And the Jewish people certainly didn't like the Romans. So that didn't add to their credibility. And in the whole Old Testament, Nazareth is not mentioned. So, yeah, you probably got this all wrong, Philip. What's the key point here? Philip skillfully avoids getting sucked into a debate about if Nazareth is a good place for Jesus to come from. Satan always tries to sideline us, to get us off the track, to get hooked into worthless debates that mean nothing and that go nowhere. He stayed focused. You see what Philip's response was? He said, come and see. He didn't get into, well, you know, you're from Canaan. Canaan was only 4 miles from Nazareth. Like, you ain't got nothing to brag about. We probably beat you in football and basketball every season too. None of that. Come and see. There's real wisdom in this and real skill for us to help us stay focused. In our day, people will often berate Christianity. The horrible things Christians have done through the ages, the bad things the church has propagated. A lot of that's true. Our answer should still be, come and see. Because it's not about how people have exploited, misused, done horrible things in the name of Christ. The answer is come and see who Jesus is. Come and see. Stay focused. We need to remember it is always about Jesus, who Jesus is. And we don't have to defend those who do bad things in Jesus' name. They'll be accountable for that themselves. And we don't have to defend Jesus. All we have to do is say, come and see. Abdu Murray, he's a Lebanese Muslim born in Detroit. He was studying at the University of Michigan to become a lawyer. One of the things he really enjoyed doing was debating with cultural Christians. Actually, he called them low-hanging fruit. He says, those cultural Christians, they hardly knew what they believed, and there was no way they could defend any of it. One day, two Gideons knocked on his door. This is still when he's at the U of M. And he thought, this is great. They're coming right to my door, and I can debate them. He invited them in. Thought this would be fun. After the first visit, he even invited them back. And they gave him a New Testament, and they suggested that he read that New Testament. And so he said he would do that because he thought, that'll even give me more ammunition so that I can debate and defeat these Christians. Took 2 years, but then he surrendered his life to Jesus. Took 7 more years to go fully public. And part of that was cultural. It's a shame and honor thing in the Muslim world. that made it really hard. But after that time, he said, I realized I found the truth. I found the truth, and I couldn't debate it, and I couldn't deny it. He says, the truth is in a person, in Jesus, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Messiah, the Christ. It took over his life. In a way, he became, God put his hand on him, of course, but he says, I became like almost obsessed by it. Today, he is an apologist. An apologist is somebody you would also call a defender of the faith. What does he do? He goes to universities and colleges and then speaks about the truth of the scriptures and then debates the students. And we had the privilege of meeting him 2 weeks ago when we were at Camp Maranatha. The reason I'm bringing all of this up is he's also in Grand Rapids this weekend because he spoke to the Gideons down at the Amway Grand. And the reason he said, I'm doing this out of gratitude. I'm so grateful for those two Gideons that came to my door and were willing to share the gospel. And he says, and they didn't really debate with me. That was kind of a problem. It was come and see. Come and see. See what the scripture says. See what the word of God says. And so today, he wants to help recruit more younger people. And that's a real challenge right now for the Gideons, to get more younger people to be involved in this ministry. Come and see. Come and see is the key. When we say come and see, we also have to know the one we are inviting people to come and see. So I get back to John's story, what we read in John 1. It's an example of someone being invited to come and see Jesus. And when we invite people to come and see Jesus, the amazing thing is Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. We can trust him. And so Jesus shows up in verse 47. What do we read? Jesus meets Nathanael, and he doesn't start out with... See, there's good lessons in this whole little passage because there's good skills. Jesus doesn't start off with, oh, hi, Nathanael. What do you got against Nazareth? I heard you're kind of slurring our town. You're from Canaan, you know. That ain't nothing. Or, well, hi, Nathanael. You want to bring it on? I am the one Moses was talking about. Yeah, my name is Christ. I was born in Nazareth, son of Joseph. What are you going to make of it? See how that human nature could come in there so quickly? See what Jesus does, though? He meets Nathanael and he pays him a compliment. He says, you know, you're an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Actually, that's quite a compliment. He says, you're an open, honest Israelite, straightforward, open-minded, open-hearted. You can be trusted. This takes Nathanael back, his response, how do you know me? Another way to put that, the reading could be, I have no idea who you are. In other words, what's this all about? I don't get it. And then Jesus responds, I already saw you while you were under the fig tree. I saw you before Philip called you. In those days, to sit under the fig tree wasn't an abnormal thing to do. They didn't have air conditioning. Fig trees have thick foliage. It was a good place in the summer heat to stay cool, but it was also a place where people would relax, to sit and think and meditate on the things of God, to ponder and to read. And what Jesus disclosed was too much for Nathanael. Too much. He couldn't understand how this all happened. So how does he respond? He responds, Rabbi. That is a respectful term for a teacher. They just met. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. That's what makes people surmise that when Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree, he was probably pondering about things like, okay, when is this Messiah going to come? When is this rescuer for the nation of Israel going to come? That these things were on his mind. Nathanael, totally amazed by the rabbi. How could this be? that Jesus already saw him before he could see him, and then he knew what was in his heart. This is incredible stuff. Jesus saw him physically in the location under the tree, and then said, hey, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. This is amazing. He saw him externally, internally. And then Jesus responds with, Nathanael, you believed, in other words, believed in who I am, because of these things? In other words, Nathanael, this is small potatoes. And this is why you believed? Get this. You will see even greater things. You'll see heaven open. You'll see angels ascending, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Nathanael would know the Old Testament. Knowing the Old Testament, this story would immediately remind him of Joseph in Jacob in Genesis 28. Jacob, on the run from his brother Esau, he's going to see his uncle Laban. That's where he finds his wives. That's where his mother had sent him so his brother wouldn't kill him. And that night, you know, he's in the desert and he's sleeping. He's got a stone for a pillow. And that night he sees this vision. And there's a ladder into heaven and angels ascending and descending. The story is almost the same, except there's no ladder. The ascending now is the Son of Man. Jesus has become the ladder. The Son of Man replaces the ladder. It's through him that we ascend into heaven. The symbolism is real clear. Now, the come and see changed Nathanael's life completely. He became one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles. And sometimes in the Gospels, when you read the name Bartholomew, you're reading about Nathanael. This has been a big week for the Gideons. They are known for their evangelical work, distributing the Bibles, as we heard, at schools and college campuses and state fairs and prisons, military camps, hospitals, all around the globe. They are evangelists. Do you know that by nature, we are all evangelists? By nature, we are all evangelists. We are wired for evangelism. That's how we're wired. We like to share life's events with other people, things that we think are important or interesting. If you don't believe me, go with me to Facebook. Example. We're on our way to Florida. We stopped at Arby's. My husband had a French dip and curly fries. I had a salad and a small shake. It was really good. It's like, really? Who has to know this? And why is this important? But it's an example of being an evangelist. There was something on these people's heart that they thought this was important and good news. And they wanted you to know it as well. So many times in life, we practice come and see or let me tell you about. See, this is what the Gideons do. They do it around the globe. Come and see. The come and see changed the life of Abdu Murray of at the University of Michigan. And it also changed the life of our former pastor right here, Howard Davis, as he was given a Gideon New Testament before shipped off to Korea as a Marine. This mission is the most exciting thing that we can be involved in our lifetime on the earth. Come and see. Come and see the one who changes lives. Every sermon needs an application. Otherwise, we're back to last week's sermon. So what? What difference does it make? Here's the application. Who is God putting on your mind that's a come and see person for you to invite to share with. Sometimes our first reaction is, oh, I'm not an evangelist. Why do we always want to keep our faith private? Why has that become part of our MO? You know, two things the devil has really bombarded us with. It almost becomes a saying in our culture, don't discuss politics or religion. Politics might have some merit. But religion? Come and see. Come and tell. Why would we buy the lie from the enemy who says, don't talk about that. Keep that to yourself. Be nice people. Don't upset anybody. Don't share the truth. Come and see. So what is an evangelist? It's the one who brings good news. If you know Jesus, if you say, I belong to Jesus, you know the good news. By default, that makes you an evangelist. The question is, what are you going to do with it? What will you do with it? That which has been entrusted to you. I'm going to invite you and encourage you every morning to pray, Lord, give me come and see opportunities this day. Give me come and see opportunities wherever I am, be it at home, be it at work, when I'm out golfing, fishing, having coffee or a meal with somebody, talking to a neighbor. Are we willing to look at all of life through the prism that these are settings and opportunities that God is providing for us to be ambassadors for Him? Instead of maybe that mindset, I have my private faith, and on Sundays I go to worship, but then the rest of the week, I just kind of keep it tucked away. I don't think you can find in Scripture where anywhere where that would be condoned. And when you get the opportunity, don't hook into the debate. Use the Bible to share the story. Use the Bible. Come and see. This is what it says. Now, I know hardly anybody leaves home without a cell phone. How about if we were known as people who didn't leave home without our Bibles? And I know many of you have your Bible on your cell phone. That's wonderful. That'll work too. But to have what we need to be able to invite people, come and see. We need to remember the power is not in the debate. The power is in the Word. The power is in the Word, and the Word that became flesh is Jesus. Come and see. Father, we come to You. We thank You for these passages, so rich. Come and see. And that we really have nothing better to show people than who You are. Give us courage. Give us courage, a boldness, a desire, a willingness to be faithful ambassadors for You. To be evangelists in the corner of the world where You have placed us, and to be faithful children that love their Lord and want to please Him. I thank You again for this passage. I pray that You touch our hearts as only You can. If there's anything that was said that didn't please You, would You delete that from our minds? As we pray it all in Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 406, which speaks to this wonderful word, the wonderful words of life, standing to sing. You may be seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received, and in the following weeks, there'll also be opportunity to give for the cause of the Gideons. But this morning, the deacons will wait upon you. Pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you give us. You just pour them out on us, all through your Son, Jesus. And then you give us the privilege of working in your vineyard, inviting others to enjoy the blessing. So as the offering has been received, will you use it in any way you see fit for the furtherance of your kingdom, but may it provide opportunities for us to reach out and say, come and see. Come and see the one who changes all of life. Even Jesus, the risen one. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 605, the first verse, Living for Jesus. Receive God's parting blessing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at this time, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.